Are you familiar with, what is this guy's name? Are you familiar with the drawings of Will Laren? I think it's Laren.
Will
Laren. It's spelled like Karen, but with an L.
I don't think so. Let me
look. The most famous one that I've seen, or I've seen this image shared quite a few times, is the old spicy keychain image.
The old spicy keychain.
I'm going to send it to you in the... There. You should open that up and read that.
Okay.
Oh, I can totally see your mustache now, too.
Yeah, isn't it great?
No, it's terrible.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know this guy.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Jesse's drawing.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the funniest things I've seen.
How could you give your own brother the spicy keychain, Dominic?
It's so specific that it makes it seem real.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not real, I hope.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Speaking of Jesse, I'm doing a little project with him down at the Gallery Vault.
Yeah?
If any of the listeners are in St. Cloud, you should come by on Friday from 5 to 9.
Friday, which will be like 2 days after this episode hits the airwaves.
Friday, yeah, the Friday the 7th. December 7th.
December.
A day that will live in infamy.
What are you doing?
It's kind of a collaborative project with our friend Molly, mm-hmm. where we're taking a bunch of our work and like putting it together.
Like putting it in the gallery together or physically attaching it to each other? Or what do you mean?
Kind of both. Like, we're not actually going to, like, staple them together. But, like, when we hang them, we're going to hang, like, one of my pieces in front of Jesse's piece. And they're kind of, like, overlapping.
Okay.
And it's mostly some text pieces I did. And some drawings he's done and some paintings Molly has done. Kind of a fun thing. Should be kind of cool.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be kind of a difficult show to hang. Have you planned it, or...?
Yeah, how we're going to hang it is... fishing line in the ceiling, like up close to the wall, and then have clips on the fishing line. So everything will like kind of hang.
I mean, I guess I didn't mean physically it'll be difficult to do that, because I can understand how you yeah. will. I mean, like, it's going to be difficult to select what goes
where. Oh, yeah, that's what we did last night.
Okay.
So it went pretty, it was kind of a long process, but it went a lot quicker than I thought.
Okay.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Well, that's exciting. How long is that going to be up? Is it just Friday night?
One night. The show's called, hold on. This is bad.
I mean, you should know the name of your own show that's going up in just a few days. All right.
Okay. The show is called Together for One Night Only.
All right, so it's kind of a,
yeah,
kind of an obvious name, but that's a pretty good name.
But, I mean, in reality, we were supposed to have a whole week. It was supposed to be a little bit, maybe bigger deal. We screwed up the dates.
Don't ever take blame.
Yeah, it was actually, I like to blame the scheduling person.
Yeah.
They miscommunicated.
What's the punctuation that you're using in the name Together for One Night Only?
None.
No punctuation?
None punctuation. None punctuated.
Okay. None punctuated.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there should be a comma or a colon or a semicolon or an M dash or a period or something breaking between together and for one night only.
Yeah, there probably should be. Just for the poster's sake, aesthetically it worked better. We kind of overlapped the text a little bit on top of one another
to sort of reflect
what we're doing.
Yep.
We had a lot of show titles that Molly X-nayed.
Well, that's too bad.
The one, this is why we have the explicit rating on this show,
mm-hmm.
which would have been perfect because this is kind of one of my first shows that's not like put on by someone else. The first one I'm kind of coordinating around my own work with a few other people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse and Molly are both a little bit more seasoned in this activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted the show to be called Molly Watches as Jesse Steals Tom's Virginity. Or Help Molly, Jesse is Raping Me.
I think the first one's much funnier.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. But nope.
Yeah. Molly Watch as well. Yeah, that's that would have been pretty good. I think Together for One Night Only makes more sense.
Oh, yeah.
And probably describes the way the art is hanged more properly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you otherwise have a good week?
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a while since we've been on air.
Yeah, sorry guys. Been kind of busy. Well,
you know, so we had that live episode, and it was a good success. I mean, I think we both had a lot of fun. We had quite a few people tune in, and yeah. We decided not to release that in the standard stream, so it's not part of this White Horse Courier podcast stream. But we are probably going to be releasing it at some point in the future, some sort of special episode. And then, you know, just due to holidays and traveling, we had to take a week off, and yeah. We're happy to be back here. Yeah. Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. And that means that we are in full swing of the Christmas holiday season.
Ho, ho, ho.
And Tom and I like to kind of avoid being too current with what we talk about, but I think for the next few weeks, we are going to have to talk about commercials related to Christmas.
Wait, 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 wait. Don't you mean Kwanzaa? Isn't that the big commercial holiday this year?
What the hell is Kwanzaa? My favorite book. No, I don't think we need to worry about it too much. Like, holiday ads, and I think they are explicitly Christmas, because Christmas is the holiday where you buy gifts, and like it's become a kind of non-religious holiday. And obviously still is celebrated religiously, but it's also celebrated kind of secularly.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a lot of it is about buying and giving gifts. And so it's interesting to see commercials that use that. Also, they started running ads related to it like 2 months ago. And by they, I mean this abstract, you know, people that run commercials for department stores and
the
such.
The man. You mean the man.
So we talked about this recently, and did you talk about Halloween ads being weird because you only get to run them for,
yeah,
like a couple weeks, because it's not really relevant before the middle of October, and then it, you know, obviously by the end of October it's no longer relevant.
Yeah, it's a very short window for Halloween.
And the same probably goes for Thanksgiving, but you can start running a Christmas ad pretty successfully in October.
They do Black Friday ads pretty quick too, which I've noticed. There's not a lot of build-up for Black Friday, because they know that people are going to be there. So pretty much like the week before, they just hit them with like what will be at every shop, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems pretty boring too, because they're standard sales ads. And sales ads aren't all that interesting, because it's just a list of like changes in prices.
Yeah.
So they don't get to have the fun sorts of ads that are about like larger stories or more about emotion. It's just straight like this used to be $20 and now it's $15 for one day only.
But
like,
for 2 hours only between.
For 2 hours only.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah. Did you go out on Black Friday at all?
I went, here's the worst thing. I went on Thanksgiving, actually.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, from 4 p.m. to 11.
Oh, that's too bad.
Michael's was having a sale.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
So we drove out. It was like a snowstorm where I was.
Well, okay.
But yeah. they had real cheap paint that I was going to pick up.
They don't even have that good of paint. Like, yeah, I can understand wanting cheap paint, but it's not like you're getting a great deal on fantastic paint.
Yeah,
you're just getting
cheap
paint for a little bit cheaper. And it's, God, what a gross store.
Oh, it was horrible. So many, like, middle-aged women, like, all very lost in, like, those very tight aisles. Just like, where, what? Why doesn't my butt fit in this aisle? I don't get it.
I feel like there's a lot of things that just happened in that sentence. And the main one that surprises me is that I think you like middle-aged women, so I'm surprised that you are trying to make fun of them here.
I like middle-aged, attractive women. You don't find them at Michael's.
I feel like you are very friendly and get along very well with middle-aged women.
Oh, I
do. In a totally Tom's a great suck-up sort of way.
Yeah.
But really, you hit the nail on the head with those tight aisles, because the store has so much stuff in it, and so many smells and sounds, and just no planning of where anything is, that, like, it's frightening to be inside, and it really, every time I go in the store, I get the heebie-jeebies. So I can't imagine.
The heebie-jeebies.
I can't imagine deciding to go to the store for a sale. That seems very frightening.
It was way more, the one in Fargo is way more well lit than any other Michaels I've been in.
Okay, that's good.
Which, no. You find out when the lights are brighter, Michaels is dirtier.
It's a very dirty store.
And there's so much you haven't seen when they keep the lights dim.
Yeah.
Yeah, gross.
So you want to discount paint?
Yeah.
All right.
I got it. I saved like $17, and my cousin came out with me, and he's like watching it get rung up, and then at the end, you know, they have the little thing at the bottom of the receipt. You saved $17.61. And he's like, that was worth driving across town in a snowstorm and dealing with a line that took us an hour and a half.
I mean, the whole point is that it's fun to do, right? Like,
yeah.
Driving through a snowstorm is fun.
I think we thought that we would get out there and then, like, get jacked up about it and then go do a bunch of it.
And you got out there and you were like, ugh.
Yeah, we're like, this sucks. Let's go home and eat leftovers.
I went to a Target store. It's a pretty standard sort of department store to go to. And I went on Thanksgiving, but I did it because the celebrations were all done. It was right around the time I was staying at my parents' house. It was right about the time my parents were going to go to bed. And I had some friends in town, and they were like, well, let's go out. My dad wants a TV. They've got these cheap TVs at Target. And it's a brand you've never heard of that exists only for Black Friday. But the goal was to go get this TV, and then we would find ourselves at a bar and celebrate Thanksgiving in the usual style.
Is that how you do it? Has that been the tradition?
We were in Target for, I think, less than 10 minutes. And, like, because we got there a couple hours after they had already opened.
Oh, yeah.
And we just went to where the big stack of TVs were, and there were just dozens of them left. And we just grabbed a TV, and then we grabbed some frozen pizzas. And then the line wrapped like all the way through the store. But I guess if you had a store credit card, which my friend did have, you could skip the line.
Oh, wow.
So we actually waited in line for less time than you normally would at a Target store. And like, I mean, it was kind of dumb. None of us really wanted to go shopping, but we had fun. It was friends hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, just an excuse to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out of your parents' house.
Yeah.
I saw a pretty good parody ad on Saturday Night Live the other week.
Yeah.
And it's like a vacation ad
mm-hmm.
where they're like advertising to go back to your hometown for the weekend, visit your parents, and they have like all mm-hmm. the awkward, like, why don't you can go to a movie by yourself. And look, it's that guy you went to high school with who still works at the movie theater. How cool is he?
Well, that's kind of sad.
It was good. It was very kind of one of those things that's so true that it makes you cry and laugh at the same time. How was your trip back to San Francisco?
It was good. The flight back was the worst flight I've been on in a long while. Just by nature of it being full and
kind of
being it, like left right at the end of... It was like 5:30 or something, so it's like right. It seems like that's a really busy time to fly,
and yeah.
Generally I fly early morning or late at night, so it's kind of empty, and I like that a lot. But it was fine. There was a dog on the plane, really well behaved, kind of fun.
Okay.
You know.
What? How do they deal with like the protocol on that? Like, what if someone's allergic to dogs?
How many people are allergic to dogs?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are, but a lot of people actually just say they are so to keep their spouse from buying a dog.
I mean, I definitely know of people that are allergic to cats and like I just don't know anyone that's allergic to dogs as far as I know. And I wonder if it's something to do with the type of fur they have or something. I'm not really sure. But presumably, I don't know. I guess they didn't announce beforehand that there would be a dog on the plane, and it was a service dog, so I assume that they've always been allowed to be on planes. I don't really know.
I don't know how that works. Because, I mean, they're allowed on buses and everything else.
If you were allergic to dogs, being on an airplane with one would be about the worst place you could be, right? It's because, like, you recirculated air and a confined space.
Yeah. That's actually the worst place you could be for any occasion, is on a plane.
Well, not for traveling. It's one of the best places to travel.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, it's better
than... This is where my irrational fear of truck stops gets trumped by my irrational fear of planes.
Are you afraid of... Oh, you are afraid of flying, aren't you?
Yeah. Not deathly. I can get on one.
But, like, a five-hour plane ride is maybe 5 hours of crippling terror for you?
Yeah.
But it's better than a day of driving, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. In the end, it always pays off. But, like, I would think of, like, alternate routes in my head. I'd consider alternate routes before. You know, like my like driving to flying ratio is different than most people.
Where is that?
I would say that it's the difference of $100. If it was $100 cheaper to drive, I would drive every time.
It's always going to be cheaper if you're in a group to drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't say always, but
usually,
if you're not leaving the United States, it's generally cheaper to drive if you have more than two people. And if you have two people, it's probably cheaper to drive from the center of the United States, from the Midwest to either coast.
Yep.
I don't think I think about it in money terms. I only think about it in time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got to say it's like around an hour and a half of flying or 2 hours of flying. If you would be flying for 2 hours or more, it's definitely worth flying.
Okay.
Because otherwise, I mean, you end up driving for a really long time. And like, God forbid,
how far is the flight from Minneapolis to Chicago?
That's about an hour.
Yeah.
So
that's a destination that for most people would be like a maybe. I don't think I would ever do it.
I would always drive. Minneapolis to Chicago is not that. I mean, so the problem is that we would both be coming from either, you know, Fargo or Moorhead or St. Cloud. So it's at least an hour and 10 minutes or so to get to the airport if you're coming from St. Cloud. And then you got to be to the airport an hour and a half early. So then it's like an 8 hour drive, or like the shortest plane trip you can take is going to be at least 4 hours. So at that point, it's like, yeah.
And then you don't have a car when you get to Chicago.
Yeah.
Which maybe is a good thing. It kind of can go both ways. Mm-hmm.
Chicago's pretty drivable. It's not that it's not that bad for driving.
Yeah.
But more than that, like if you're traveling further than that, it's like, you know, generally it's better to fly, especially if you're like if you're flying with someone that's employed full time, or if you're employed full time, you got to fly because it's actually like ridiculously cheaper to not take another day off of work.
Yep. Your opportunity costs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although the way that I love to travel, like above all else, is like micro destination road trip style. So like you drive for like 2 hours or 3 hours, you stop somewhere, you hang out for like a day or two. Then you drive for an hour and a half and you stay there for a night.
Yeah.
And then sort of a lot of times how that happens is then you have to make like a big crusade on the way home that always sucks.
Yeah.
Cuz it's pretty hard to get like a full loop. Depending on where
it's hard to get a full loop. I think I'm more used to taking like 8 hours in between stops. And if the point of the trip is that it is a road trip,
yeah,
then that can be a lot of fun. And you really don't even need anywhere fun to go. Like you don't need to be stopping at fun places. You just kind of need to be stopping to do stuff.
One of the best trips I ever took, and this is like, it's almost silly to say because I've been to a lot of fabulous places like abroad and everywhere else. But my family, we drove around Lake Michigan a couple summers ago.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. Like, there wasn't, like, one thing that I could be like, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, all these little stops, and then we ended in Chicago. And then we had a kind of trek from Chicago back.
Chicago's kind of,
I loved Chicago.
A boring place.
Oh, shut your mouth.
There's nothing in Chicago. It's a boring city.
I disagree.
It doesn't have, it's not better than Minneapolis in any way.
Yes, it
is. Except that it's bigger.
Has great lakes. Has
lakes is not having lakes is not a good destination if you're driving from Minnesota.
No. Not lakes. Lake Michigan.
Okay. Lake the Michigan. Best lake. Lake Michigan is not better than Lake Superior.
Oh yes, it is. You can swim in Lake Michigan.
You can swim in Lake Superior if you're not.
Yeah, if you want
about
like
it.
balls in your throat.
Oh, you just gotta, you gotta,
and like you want, like if you get like pierced by the rocks, like oh hey dude, let's go swimming on these rocks.
You gotta go, like if you're in Duluth, you gotta go out into Wisconsin a little ways, or like go on a park point. There's actually sandy beaches.
Yeah, yeah, there is, but they're not the beaches.
It's cold, but you gotta, you know, zip along a little bit. And anyway, okay, lake swimming kind of sucks.
No, not in Lake Michigan. I'm telling you, I went. My friends and I took a trip where we went to California, and we went to 12 beaches in California, like the quote best beaches, and they were fabulous sand. There was like all this wonderful stuff. And then another summer, I was on the East Coast. We did like tons of beaches there. Another winter, I went to Florida. Went to all the beaches there.
Every one of them.
I have not seen a beach that even compares to the beaches of Lake Michigan.
Really?
I'm not on the east side of Lake Michigan. There are these sand beaches. You can walk out like 100 yards, and you're like waist deep in this beautiful like sandy blue water. That's super comfortable. Doesn't have like salty waves hitting you.
Yeah,
and like,
I mean,
nastiness everywhere and like dead crabs everywhere, like every ocean does for some reason.
All right, so that has nothing to do with Chicago, though.
Yeah, you can do it in Chicago.
Now Chicago's,
they have that big lakefront.
Yeah. That's not selling me on the town.
It's also a very bike friendly city.
Yeah, Minneapolis is equally bike friendly.
Yeah, probably more. It's actually more so.
Yeah,
but
if you, I mean, both of them, like winter biking is still winter biking.
Yep.
It's not like, you know, if you go south from Chicago a little ways, winter biking is no longer really winter biking. It's just a little bit colder out.
Yeah,
I think, you know, just to kind of bring us full circle here, the idea of a road trip scares a lot of people, but I think in a lot of ways it's more of a vacation than a lot of other vacations that I can imagine, because you like, while you have to drive a bunch of places, you spend most of your time not really doing anything.
Yeah.
And that's like, when I go on vacation to a big city, my days are usually full of like planning out different trips and museums to go to and like events and things. And you try to fill up your days with stuff. And yep. Then I've never been on a cruise because I'm not really interested in that sort of thing.
Thank you so much. I'm we'll get to cruises.
We'll
later.
Get to that. That'll be its own episode. Sort of like, even like tropical vacations, I imagine it could be the same thing where you kind of sit on a beach and read a book all day. But like, if you go camping and you do it right, you could spend basically your whole time not really doing anything. And if you go on a road trip, you basically spend the whole time hanging out with people you like. Hopefully you like them at the end of it, too. So, you know, it's nice to have some point or like some destination that you're trying to get to that drives you along. But other than that, it's a really relaxing vacation because you don't do anything.
Yeah, it's pretty laid back.
You get kind of sore if you're in it too long, but...
Yeah, if you have a comfortable enough car.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, there's a lot to see. Like, I can't think of... Okay, like, there's a couple states that when you drive across, just, like, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, most states, there's, like, cool stuff you're going to drive by at some point.
Wow.
I mean, with the exclusion of Nebraska and North Dakota and most of South Dakota.
Most of South Dakota.
Until you hit like that 8 mile stretch where there's badlands.
Yeah, there's like 18,
Black Hills.
There's 18 minutes of driving through South Dakota that's interesting, and then it's boring again.
Yeah,
There's some nice areas. All right, we should probably jump
into these episodes or these commercials.
My gift turned my daughter
into an Instagram sensation.
My gift was a camera that's helping my son preserve the forest in Patagonia.
My gift helped my son find his beautiful bride.
It was a match made in Halo.
And our gift to our son was a laptop
that helped me turn the house from a Christmas story into a museum.
What will your gift do? Let us show you how the right gift can make all the difference. Get the right gift and never overpay with our perfect match promise, only at Best Buy.
The visuals in this ad are not all that important. Sometimes we have some where we have to describe what's happening. Really, it's just showing people hanging out with their stuff. The stuff
and
that
the
they
person
got.
They're and the person they're referencing.
The three stories in this ad are all real stories, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of this ad? Overall, big picture, what do you think about it?
Okay. Right away, I was like, the first time I saw it, I was like, that's a really cool ad. People buy things for their loved ones, and their loved ones do cool stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it again, and I said, oh, people buy things for the people they love, and they do pretty much average stuff with it.
Okay.
That they could do with any device that they buy anywhere else.
Wait, okay. I don't think the point of this ad is to say Best Buy sells the only tools to accomplish these jobs.
No, but I'm just saying that, like, okay, a smartphone that turns your daughter into an Instagram sensation.
Yes.
I'm not going to, like, go rip apart a 13-year-old girl's Instagram and Tumblr blog.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
you can just say Tumblog, but that's fine.
Tumblog. Or Tumblog. But at the end of the day, like, there's 100 girls that do that.
Well, I mean, there's far more than 100
million.
Right? Like, every teenager in the world.
I'm saying the girls that take literally the exact same photos as she's taking. Like, word for word. Exact.
Word for word. Because it's 1,000
word
words, and they're identical words.
Thanks for getting that joke. Yeah, and I mean, the one... I did some research on this guy, Taylor... what's his name now?
Taylor... Well, the guy that was going...
The guy that's helping the rainforest.
Yep.
And I couldn't find much on him. He had, like, a little blog about his adventures down in Chile.
Yeah, I misspoke and said there were three stories in this ad. There's actually four. I was forgetting that one.
Yep. And like, that's pretty cool. But I looked at it, and he's just, like, he was just there on, like, a broad sort of study thing where they were doing work in the rainforest, and it had very little connection to his camera. That his mom got him. And that kind of let me down a little bit, because I thought he was doing something sweet, like videoing something or like taking shots of something for someone or using this device in like a more direct way.
Yeah, so he had a GoPro camera, which are those kind of waterproof and long-lasting battery, kind of low resolution, but you like mount them on a helmet and then they run forever and record whatever you're doing. So he had a GoPro while he was in the rainforest in Chile and you know, yeah, it's really impossible to tell how much of an impact that actually had on his trip. I think other than that one, and maybe the last one, which is the Christmas Story Museum. So the first two, Instagram Girl especially, I think was just about illustrating how these things that we kind of take as being superfluous objects or completely luxury goods actually can become tools in our life and can, you know, change the way we interact with the world. And so I think the main hook of this ad, or like the main objective of this ad, is to show that like these electronics that are luxuries that we kind of waste money on are actually things that could potentially impact our life in a positive way and help us to achieve bigger, better, different things.
Yeah, I guess for me, with all of these stories, I don't think that any of the people, like, I don't think they would have, like, been, I feel like they would have reached their heights without these devices. So, the guy would have gone to Chile. The girl probably would have gotten into photography at some point.
I'm not 100% on that. I don't want to agree that the girl would have gotten into Instagram or into photography without Instagram.
Okay. She would have gotten into Instagram without this particular cell phone.
Yeah, but that's why the cell phone is really not highlighted. Like, it doesn't matter. It's a throwaway, and they show some random droid phone that I don't recognize. But it's really unimportant. It's just it's just there to let people know we're talking about a smartphone.
Okay, well, I will be willing to say this then. Right now, as a 13-year-old girl and as a hobby, she might not have picked up photography. If this woman makes a career of photography and becomes a good photographer, she probably would have done that without Instagram.
I don't think that that's fair for you to say, though.
I do. No one can do something their whole life based on a social media site.
Like just this habit
that happened. She had to have some sort of interest in imagery in and documenting things, an image or a motivation bigger than just showing people what she's doing.
But maybe otherwise, maybe this was the instigating moment. Maybe Instagram was what caused her to be interested in photography. The same way many musicians will talk about like seeing one specific concert and that concert inspired them to start playing music, or like you know, not that many, or you know, in a percentage wise, not that many people get inspired by playing in grade school orchestra, which is kind of this like thing that forces everyone to play music. But a lot of professional musicians have some experience in their life that they can say, this was the moment when I decided I wanted to be a musician. And a lot of times that's being in, you know, grade school orchestra. And not that the product that they're making when they're starting there is all of that great, but they became inspired because they started doing it somewhere. And okay, I don't think it's fair to say, I don't think it's fair to say that Instagram is a bad way to get exposed to photography, because I think it does teach people a lot of the kind of fundamental ideas of photography.
I disagree wholeheartedly with that statement.
So if she's saying, let me defend this for a bit, and maybe I'm wrong, I haven't fully thought this through yet, but if she is saying she's an Instagram sensation, that means she has an audience, right? Like
a pretty big one, it looks like, online.
So she's got this audience, and they're interested in what she's taking pictures of. So on some level, she's considering subject matter. And then the limitations of Instagram are pretty specific. The cropping of all the photos is exactly the same. Okay, so she's considering subject matter, and it might be subject matter that we both find really boring. But she's at least considering, like, I should take a picture of this butterfly, which is what's the image they're showing in the ad is, because people will find this butterfly interesting. The same way someone might say, I should take a picture of all of my dinners because everyone that follows me on Instagram is interested in what I'm eating for dinner. Both of us find those boring, but it's still the person considering subject matter. And then they're considering framing because all of the images are square. And so at some level, that's restricting them. And so they have to start thinking about how the image will look. And then they apply those cheesy filters. And, I mean, there's a lot of debate as to whether the filter is actually a good thing or a bad thing for Instagram as a social network. But, and I mean, there's a lot of professional photographers or artists that will condemn it because it's kind of cheesy. But it is causing the people to think about color and balance and you know, desaturating photos makes it look one way while making it black and white makes it look another way. And so it's like this really easy way to get into this art form.
And I'm just going to say that I don't know of anyone who got into art in an easy way. And maybe because there wasn't as easy like of a way to get into art as it is now. But I can't think of, like, an artist who made it really big by, like, cutting corners and being like, oh, I have this thing.
Is it cutting a corner to use a digital camera? Like, do you have to start with film? If you're learning how to shoot photos?
No. My issue is not in the... It's in the sharing of your photos immediately. It's in a very quick thought process of when you take a photo and when you show it. And there's not a lot of thought of, hey, this isn't that good of a photo. Hey, this isn't that great. Like, as soon as you strap your name to something and put it in the public, that's going to be with you forever. And there's no real, like, thought process of, hey, I took this photo about this subject. I thought about the subject. Is this still relevant? Like, does this photo look good? And looking at what you've done before you share it and say, oh, 50 people like this photo, it must be good. Well, and there's no real thought or that, internal criticism.
Is that not a fair definition for good, if lots of people like it?
Well, dude, what if you have a bunch of people with poor taste that follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, so the majority of photos on Instagram are not high art. But that doesn't mean that it's a bad platform for exposing people to photography. The main goal of Instagram is not to expose people to photography.
No, we've all been exposed to it.
But I don't think it's fair to condemn the platform because a lot of people use it to make cheap crap. That doesn't really matter.
I would. If you provide an environment for people to make cheap crap, I'm going to condemn it.
No, it's not totally fair because they're not. Why not? They're not exposing you to that crap at all, and they're not forcing you to have anything to do with it.
Oh, in a way they are, because I enjoy Twitter, and I'm forced to
interact
with lots of Instagram on Twitter.
You're not forced to. You're still choosing to follow those people. If people are spamming you, if people are spamming your Twitter account with all of their Instagram stuff that you're not interested in, stop following them on Twitter.
Well, sometimes like, they have interesting tweets.
Remove yourself from a social network that, that you don't care about. Like, that's yeah. totally fair. But I think it's really unfair to say that it's that Instagram as this network for photography is a really is it cutting corners or is a bad network for photography.
I'm not saying it's cut. I'm saying that it's thoughtless.
Yeah, a lot of people use it thoughtlessly. But
yeah,
but that
and I don't think that's a good way to be introduced to any medium.
But just because people can use it thoughtlessly does not mean that everyone uses it thoughtlessly.
And, yeah, but to be...
And it doesn't mean that if you use something thoughtlessly, you won't eventually start thinking about it.
But it means it's going to be harder for you to start thinking
about
it.
No, that's not necessarily true.
If
Instagram is the first exposure a lot of young people are having to photography, all it means is that more people are exposed to photography, and hopefully a lot of them will start to think about photography in a different way.
It's not. I'm condemning it because it's based on this like whole. Instead of it being like you figuring things out with your camera, it's you showing off to the world and the photos being a byproduct.
I think the point of this ad is that you can have these luxury items and use them as tools, or they can have these benefits in the real world rather than just as these abstract electronic devices.
I just think they should have found better examples.
The match made in Halo, I think, was kind of a joke in the ad, but the story is actually kind of interesting. Yeah, I feel like it's a joke in the ad. The story is interesting, though. And the story is that like these two people met playing Halo 2 on Xbox Live, and they fell in love, and they got married, and you have this awesome link to this. Well, I shouldn't say awesome. You have an all right link.
Yeah, I have a pretty subpar link.
It's just the full story. We'll put it in the show notes, of course, which you can find at verbmill.net/thewhitehorsecourier. It's all this info about it, and like these people got married, and they had a Halo themed wedding because they met in Halo and they love the game. In the ad, it's just kind of a quick joke, like aha, video games, people married, serious thing, real life connection, blah blah blah. I knew the story before that I had seen this ad, because I remember. Because
now you've been perusing Halo to try to find a wife. You won't even invite me with an Evite. You'll send me like a gamer tag request to your wedding.
I remember when these people got married. I remember reading about it like before it happened and then as it was happening and then after it happened on the Halo news sites.
That's awesome.
And I think it's fair because it's people in mass in the United States are becoming more accustomed to meeting each other online, and it's now less of a San Francisco thing and more of a, you know, the whole world thing. Really, like they met playing Halo, but did they get it for Christmas? I kind of doubt it. I mean, Halo 2 came out on November 9th in 2004. Yeah, 2004.
This guy could have easily gotten that as a Christmas present.
He could have gotten it as a Christmas present, or she could have, or, whatever.
The way the commercial claims is that the dad bought it for his son.
Yeah, and that's really irrelevant, because the point of the ad is to show that these things are kind of important, and then the standard, like, we're a store that sells this stuff and will price match. It's got that standard Best Buy V shape of employees, which is ridiculous, because the customer service at Best Buy is terrible.
Flying V.
And so overall, you framed this ad as being something that I would not like. And I think I did like it. Certainly more than the rest of Best Buy ads I've seen.
Okay. Compared to other Best Buy ads.
Oh, yeah. I mean, certainly better than the other Best Buy ads I've seen.
Dude, turning the house from a Christmas story into a museum. Like, you couldn't find someone that had bought a laptop from Best Buy that did something cooler than that, to use as your example. Like, come on, dude. People have bought laptops and invented... Someone invented Instagram on a, probably on a computer somebody bought them. Probably wasn't from Best Buy, but maybe it was. Like, that's like the guy doing the research to find these people.
I wonder if the Christmas Story Museum is just there to build the idea of Christmas.
Could be.
Because it is, like, I agree, it's kind of, I mean, it's really not related to the computer at all. Because, of course, if you're going to do something in 2012, you're going to use a computer to do that thing.
Also, also, we should link to the website of the museum.
Oh, we definitely will. Museum. All these, link to all these people.
Because I think that the guy needs to go back to his laptop.
It's a pretty bad website. I am kind of bored by it because I have no interest in seeing a Christmas Story museum. But
yeah,
whatever. Like that, if Halo really appealed to me. I'm sure a lot of people really were appealed to the Christmas Story museum idea.
Yeah, I guess I was excited. Like when I first, like I was like, oh, cool, there's a Christmas Story museum, and then the thought of like going in the because I love the Christmas Story.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Even if you love the Christmas Story, it doesn't really seem like something that needs a museum.
No, but like the, right away, I'm saying like the instant, like, oh yeah. And then I thought about like walking around this house in this like low budget, like creepy museum with that guy like standing there like, hey, want a tour of the house?
you don't know how low budget it is.
Well, judging by the website.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily look like.
But I did buy a Christmas Story t-shirt.
From the website?
No.
From the thrift store?
No, it motivated me because I'd seen one, and then I thought of Christmas Story when I saw that ad, and I went back and I bought the shirt.
Yeah, not from Best Buy, presumably.
But. No. It was from, I don't know, one of those t-shirt, online t-shirt deal sites that you buy shirts for like $6.
Yeah.
Like you do.
So, not entirely related to this argument that we just had for a really long time, and I'm pretty sure we're going to cut a lot of it out of the actual podcast, but...
Oh, you're probably going to cut all of my good points out.
You didn't have any good points, so I'm not going to cut your good points
out. See, that's the
issue. You did have some. There was some interesting stuff, and I...
A few decent.
This is something that we should both think about and talk about again. There is a podcast that I've really liked, and it's ending soon. It's ending on episode 100 in a few weeks. It's called Hypercritical. And it's with Dan Benjamin and John Siracusa. John Siracusa is this nerdy guy who complains about stuff, essentially. The premise of the show is that every week he picks something to complain about. And so one week is about, you know, TiVo and how bad TiVo is at everything it does. And then the next, you know, whatever.
TiVo still a thing?
Oh, yeah. TiVo is still a thing.
Okay.
And it became a larger argument. That episode happened a long time ago. A larger...
I was just...
criticism of DVRs in general, because DVRs are just kind of bad. The most recent episode, which we will link to in the show notes, was about calling each other geeks, and specifically like this meme online of geek girls that aren't actually geeks, or nerd girls that aren't actually nerds. And it was all about people who like the thing you like, but you think they're a poser, and so you don't want to associate with them. And I don't think it was a perfect episode, certainly not the best Hypercritical episode, but I think it's really important, and it's something we should both listen to, and then we'll talk about it some next week. It has to do with our argument about, like, you care deeply about photography, and then there are other people doing photography, and you don't like the way they're doing it. So you, I mean, not that you called them posers, and not that the arguments that he's talking about this are arguments that you would make, but it is in some ways related, and I think it's important. So that's going to be kind of, you know, not necessarily something that our listeners need to listen to, but it is really interesting, and it has to do with this. It is something you need to listen to.
Maybe we shouldn't send them over there, because then maybe they'll start listening to them instead of us.
Oh, that's fine if they listen to them instead of us, because that was episode 96, and they announced that they're ending it at episode 100.
Dude,
so you've only got four more.
They could go back and listen to episode 1, and we'll lose them for 100 episodes.
They should go back and listen to episode 1. They should listen also to my favorite episode, Worse and More Diverse. We'll link to that in the show notes as well. I think it's like episode 7 or 17, or it was pretty early on. It's about toaster ovens. Really important.
Just a quick side note on toaster ovens.
Yeah.
So, like, about 2.5 years ago, my brother and his wife got married.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to get them a toaster oven. And I had seen this thing online of a toaster oven that you like write, and then it like burns it into the toast. Obviously, was like a prototype.
So wait, but, you like send them a file?
No.
And it's like set to that, or it's like every time.
Every time.
Okay.
And I like kind of breezed by it one day, and then like I was like, I want. When I found out they were getting married, I was like, I want to get this gift. Found out it didn't exist at all. So I ended up buying them like one of those super cheesy toaster things that have like you like put plates in it.
Okay.
To like, so you have like, you buy like stencils. And my sister was like, no, you can't give this to him. And I ended up getting him sleeping bags instead. Not really a great story. But if the moral of it is if someone does come across this product that was a prototype 2.5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they start making it, contact me immediately.
Immediately. On the Twitter, probably.
I will buy one for myself and one for you.
Wow.
As the person who found it.
Bold words. Those are... You're talking about toasters, not toaster ovens. They make a very clear distinction in this episode. Where
there is a clear distinction.
Yeah, of course. They're talking about toaster ovens in it.
Poor people have toaster ovens.
You say poor people have toaster ovens?
Yeah.
Really?
In lieu of real ovens.
Oh, no. I've never... Man, instead of...
I guess I've never been into a nice, like, kitchen and seen the toaster oven as, like, the key... Where, like, whenever I go into a college person's kitchen, they're like, yeah, I got a toaster oven. And they're, like, proud of a toaster oven.
Yeah, it's a little weird because I had never had one, but definitely they are nicer than toasters for a lot of things. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, they have multiple uses rather than just toasting toast. But I don't think that they're... I don't associate them with, like... college or poor people. I associate them with actually like wealthier people, I think.
Oh.
Because in my mind, it's like a fancier way to make toast, and that's why you have them. But also, they're good for heating up like pizza and bagels already have stuff on them and whatnot.
Yeah, see, that's where my thing is like, usually if you like, when I associate things with like wealthier, like people with stable jobs and not like college age or whatever, like, whenever I think of a toaster oven, I think of someone trying to use it in a way that it shouldn't be used. Like, dude, I bet I can make this lasagna in my pizza oven.
Well, I think you could make lasagna in a toaster oven. I think you could make lasagna in a toaster
oven. Oh, yeah, you could. You could, but, like, the thought of, like, this... Like, last night we were over at my friend's place and we were making, like, these bagel sandwiches and, like, these other things, and then we wanted to make a frozen pizza... And the guy was like, well, the toaster oven's already hot. So we, like, cut the frozen pizza in half so it fit in this toaster oven.
Well, okay, so that's one of the things in this episode is they talk about needing a toaster oven that fits an entire pizza.
Yeah.
Not that they necessarily
eat frozen pizza. That's why, dude, pizza ovens are one of the coolest things.
Yeah, but pizza ovens require, like, a good pizza oven. You need to, like, put wood in it to burn the wood. I could totally see if you had a good toaster oven. I don't really know much about them. I could totally see making things like a lasagna that fits perfectly inside it being way better because you're heating up a smaller area and, like, if you have a good toaster oven or it seems easier to get a good toaster oven that, like, stays at a specific heat and, like, heats up quickly and you can change the heat quickly and all sorts of things like that. We have one at the place I'm living now and it's only started on fire once out of the 3 or 4 times I've used it. But it seems nice, like heating up pizza and stuff like that. It's just great in a toaster oven.
Yeah.
And I actually have not used the oven in this house ever because we have a toaster oven. I don't do a lot of baking, so. Anyway. We should probably wrap this up pretty soon.
Yep.
We talked about this episode that people should listen to. More importantly, we're going to put next week's commercial into our show notes for this week so our listeners can watch it and send us feedback before we talk about it.
Organized.
Wow. Think about that, yeah. So we're going to be recording next week, probably, next Tuesday or maybe Monday. This episode comes out on a Wednesday. So in the next few days, head over to verbmill.net/thewhitehorsecourier and grab the link to next week's commercial. It's a Christmas commercial, but I bet you haven't seen it before because it's not from this country.
Nope.
And if you're an English listener, if you're in England, I bet you have seen it before because it is a pretty big It's a pretty big chain or store.
Big chain.
In England. So
We do have those English viewers we talked about couple weeks ago.
And then send us a tweet or a message in some other way about what you think about the commercial or criticisms you have. We've got some interesting things to talk about, but we're not gonna spoil it. You still have to tune in next week. This has been episode 13 of the White Horse Courier. You can find us online at verbmill.net/thewhitehorsecourier. And I'm Will Imholt. You can find me on Twitter at Will Imholt.
And I'm Tom Wixo. You can find me at Tom Wixo.
I know someday soon, then you'll be known.